Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and the whiskey. Ooh.
We have to fight.
With Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
Not WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
I love that clip. I love the Paul... penalties clip.
I was just thinking, like, you've got, you know, a hockey career, Paul, to look back on, where we at least have one example of the arena announcer saying your name like that. Like, you might rather it was for a goal or something, but still, like, that's pretty great.
Well, I actually scored 2 goals in the first 5 minutes of that game, and my girlfriend actually was recording that. She hadn't started it yet. So she missed the 2 goals.
Otherwise, we'd have that. Maybe we would have found our way to that. Yeah,
because later in the commentary, they kept saying, "Well, he's not going to be able to get his hat trick."
All right.
Well, I like that we have it. It's funny because I just have a hard time imagining you in a rage. And I just love how meek the announcers' voices are about it, too. I think that was pretty unnecessary. I don't think he really needed to do that. Anyway, we had the pleasure to talk to Paul yesterday, and today we've got some news. Eric Staal back in the organization as Kevin Adams' assistant. Let's start there, Paul. What are your thoughts?
It's fine. If you're going to bring a former player back, you've got a winner. You've got a guy who's played in this league for a long time and had a lot of respect and I think got a lot of good experience there. Now, I don't believe they're done. I mean, I think still there's going to be a guy who has NHL experience. I mean, how long have you heard me beating the drum for a guy like Rick Dudley who lives in Lewiston? And, you know, is on the payroll of the Florida Panthers. But, you know, I've been told if, let's say, Adams wasn't around anymore and he was offered this job, that he'd be very interested in it. So, you know, that's the kind of guy I'm thinking about, you know, in addition to this. You know what this reminds me of a little about when Daniel Breer came back with the Flyers. They basically had him do a lot of things like what they're talking about here. And then the next thing you know, he was the general manager of their AHL club. But unlike the Sabres, he went to the city and lived there as the GM. And, You know, so it's now I'm not saying Stahl is going to be the GM of the Amherst next year or anything like that, even if Karmanos isn't back. And Karmanos has done a good job, at least with the Amherst, but as far as advising Adams and everything, nobody's done a good job because this just isn't working the way it's been set up. So, you know, maybe Karmanos isn't going to be back. And I don't think – well, I know he doesn't live in Rochester. I don't know if he spends a whole lot of time there, to be quite honest. So, you know, you can watch games on AHL TV, but still – you know, they may be looking, if he's not back, they may be looking for somebody. I think Bottrell was the same way when he was in charge of the Penguins AHL team. He was there, you know, and you know, the Sabres don't have that. But it reminds me a little bit about Danny Briere, the way when he came on with the Philadelphia Flyers, where he kind of did everything. It's almost like an internship, you know, of, all right, we want to show you what the front office is all about, and – you know, we're going to include you in a lot of decisions. We're going to talk to you. We're going to show you. You know, I saw him today on with Martin Biron and Brian Duff, and basically all he said, he was asked, well, what are you going to be doing? And he didn't really say a lot other than just learning.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. Right, he said, I'm going to be here starting next week. And he goes, I'm going to be a sponge, just taking everything in, learning things, different parts of the organization, giving my opinions when needed, his input, as he put it. So that's pretty much what it reminded me of. It's fine. I mean, I don't hate it at all. But still, there's a lot more work to be done in the hockey department.
Right, and that's where the hard part really comes in here, I think, because, you know, this can all line up. He's got, obviously, an established relationship with Kevin Adams. You know, I mean, they won a cup together, for crying out loud. Adams traded for him when he first, you know, early on in his GM tenure here. And so, I'm sure it's not hard to, and I'm assuming Stahl wants to get into this end of the game, and so it lines up. The difficulty comes to me, Paul, in what you said a moment ago about Rick Dudley. Like, if Kevin Adams weren't here, that's a person you'd have in mind. The fact that Adams is there, and this job that apparently is still available, according to Elliot Friedman anyway, is a job that will still report to Adams. It's not above him, necessarily. It's someone to help him and report to him.
Absolutely, not going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
That seems like a... That seems like a tough thing to attract, say, someone like Ken Holland to, that he's going to answer to Kevin Adams.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Now, Adams has one more year left on his contract. If this is just because Pegula doesn't want to pay a guy not to work, you know, you could bring Rick Dudley into the organization kind of as, well, this is Adams' last year, and we're going to make him what? You name it, whatever,
yeah, right.
And you're gonna take over, type of a thing. It could be, and then you get him in here, at least you get him in the door, type of a situation. You're absolutely right. There are a lot of guys who aren't going to sit here and have Kevin Adams as their boss.
Did we talk credibility yesterday? I know we did. The word came up. I just wonder if you think this does anything for that, this move today.
Eric Stahl is a very respected person around the National Hockey League. So, yeah, I think that does a little bit for the Sabres' credibility that, you know, he's going to be part of the organization. And especially if he's, you know, part of player development, that really would be great for him. Talking to the young kids and that type of thing. And it seems like, you know, when you read about what his responsibilities will be, it said many areas, including scouting and involvement with players and prospects. You know, that would be absolutely great for the players and prospects to be able to have somebody like Eric Stahl around you. So, I think it does give you a little bit of credibility. I don't think it gives you much if it's the only thing you do, and that's your change in the hockey department. Then no, I don't think the organization has, but if it's part of it, yes, I think it does.
Right. And, well, it is not the only news today, Paul, because there was news about Seth Appert having an expanded role. And, I mean, he certainly earned that.
is that true?
Well,
that's kind of the way I look at it.
I'm kidding when I say
even the fact that they're considering that, is that true? That's just one guy talking about it. Is that true? Is it not? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Sometimes this stuff gets going, and it's not even true. I mean, I look at it and go, scratching my head going, all right, what?
Okay, so you're not signing off on Seth Appert has an expanded role on the team yet.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Right.
I
guess I'm putting it this way. The Sabres have not confirmed that.
Right. Okay.
And until they do, I'm just going to kind of set that aside because I'm thinking, doesn't he have enough to do coaching a power play that was one of the worst in the National Hockey League and hanging out with, you know, as an assistant coach of the Sabres? What is this? I mean, I don't get it. So that's why it's not adding up to me. But I'm not saying it's not true.
Yep.
But all I'm saying is the Sabres have not confirmed it or anything else, and it just leaves me scratching my head a little bit. One or the other.
Sure.
You're either in the hockey department or you're in the coaching. Unless that is going to be a move, maybe he's not going to be coaching if he takes that role.
Anyone there getting promoted is absurd. That's it. And so if he is being elevated, if he's being elevated and also retained, I just don't even know what to do with it because they did not have like the areas of the team that he was coaching, whether it was Ruff's production or whatever it was, it didn't work. It really is a significant thing that hindered them severely this year. So I don't know.
Other areas where he did help in is because he knows J.J. Paterka and Jiří Kulik very, very well because he basically had them since they showed up in North America. And I thought both players made progress this year. And I know he basically kind of took both players under his wing and had a lot to do with them. So, you know, those are some of the things that I think he's good at. I think Seth Appert is a good coach. I mean, he was an excellent coach, an excellent development coach in Rochester. Maybe that's what he's best at, is being a development coach. Maybe they see him, maybe instead of being in the coaching staff, he would be better doing X job in the hockey department instead of coaching. Maybe they feel, because I don't know if I would call it a promotion unless they make him the general manager or something. he might have a role in the hockey department that, well, we think he's better suited for. They might feel. So, you know, we'll just see. We'll see how it boils down to, but it doesn't jive to me right now. It just that he's going to be doing both.
You okay with the timetable of all this, Paul? I mean, I tend to you see moves that happen like right after the season around the league. It doesn't mean that they have to be then. I mean, this seems like more deliberate. Is it okay going at this pace?
Yeah, well, the pace was determined by the NFL draft. I mean, Terry Pegula wants to be part of that. He wants to be part of the meetings. He wants to be part of the whole thing. So he really didn't have time to deal with the Sabres until after the draft was over. So then he dealt with the Sabres. Now, if he's looking for a general manager and he knows he's going to be looking for a general manager, well, I think you got to take care of that before the NFL draft and start that process in conjunction with the draft. Because, yeah, I would agree with you waiting till after the draft and then you're deciding you're going to fire your general manager and you're just going to start looking then put you behind the eight ball a little bit. Or if you're firing your coach, which we knew they weren't going to do. Kevin Adams already said they weren't going to do that. And if Kevin Adams is the one saying we're not, you know, we're retaining, you know, Lindy Ruff, I think that was just another example when we were talking about before the season ended that he's not going anywhere.
Right.
I don't think he's making that statement if there's a chance he's going to be going anywhere. And so with that in mind, you know, all right, you got the draft done, and then they could have met.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
As I told you, he was not in Rochester for Game 2 on Sunday. So he might have been meeting with Terry Pegula, who had been done with the draft on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. By the way, my last question. You slipped in earlier talking about Pegula and the plans here, not wanting to pay someone to not work anymore with respect to Adams' contract. I mean, there's been a lot of that. Do you think or even know that, like, sort of that's the thing now?
Well, there are a lot of people who believe there is a Terry Pegulas imposed salary cap. Adams has denied that vehemently how many times. As I told you, being $6 million under the cap bothered a lot more people than it bothered me. I don't think that's that far under. And I never heard once that a player was not acquired because it would have gone over a self-imposed salary cap. Had I heard that, then I would have a completely and totally different opinion about what we're talking about here. But I didn't think being around $6 million under the cap was that big of a deal until it is a big a deal, until I hear that, no, we can't acquire players because even though the cap's going up to X amount of dollars in the next 3 years, we're not going to be up to that cap because we can't spend that kind of money because we're the Buffalo Sabres. You know, when I start hearing that, then I'll have a completely different opinion on it.
It more to me than not spending the money always felt to me like they couldn't find a player to spend it on.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, to an extent. Yeah. Like that, you know, I'm connecting a lot of dots there, you know, palm trees and taxes and all the stuff, but I feel like Adams obviously doesn't want to say that, but when I see that money there, I just think they might have had a guy in mind when they bought out Jeff Skinner, and they couldn't get him to come.
Natchez and Ehlers, they right. cost money,
right.
and they were after him. It wasn't like they weren't trying, but they weren't able to do it. But yeah, that would have cost money, and that would have added to the salary cap. So, again, right now, I'm saying I don't think it's a big deal, but that could become a big deal later on. Who knows? And I kind of veered off from the question about not wanting to pay Adams. I mean, I do know Terry Pegula despises having to pay. When he was paying Bottrell and Murray, and I'm missing one.
Coaches.
Krieger, maybe?
Kruger, yeah.
Kruger. When he was paying all those guys not to be around, it bothered him a lot. So that might have been part of his decision. I can't tell you that. We never get a chance to talk to him, and we're not privy to his meetings. So, but I do know that he found it very distasteful to have to pay people that weren't working.
All right, Paul. Thanks again.
All right, take care.
There's Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
I think that adds up. I mean, I can appreciate being frustrated by that, but he did make those changes then, and it kept happening. You know, they kept losing. And so maybe, like for a GM, I didn't know Adams' contract situation, but Paul said 1 year left. That would be a big story if you got to the season mm-hmm. and he didn't have, you know, more than 1 year left on his contract.
Right.
And I don't know, what would your guess be? They extend him? I mean, what's likeliest to happen? He probably plays it out.
I
don't know.
I don't want to rule out any possibility, a quiet extension once the season gets going, because the season gets off to a good start or something. I can see that. But, yeah, you'd probably rather let it ride.
Let it ride. Love Let It Ride. Ever play that?
I don't know. I love the song. It's Ryan Adams and the Cardinals song.
It has been a long time since I've played Let It Ride.
I don't think I know the game.
It's a casino game. So you'll probably lose.
And I probably would hate it.
Yes. I was more of a Caribbean stud guy in the day than Let It Ride. Caribbean stud. So they pay you, it's five card hand. Dealer deals himself or herself in. And you have to have better than ace king or better is what it is, I think. Or like a pair.
Okay.
And so if you don't get a pair, say, you throw your hand, you throw the ante in, you fold. That's the proper strategy. If you have a pair, then you play.
Mm-hmm.
If the dealer doesn't have a pair or even ace king, then they don't pay you. You get your ante, I think, but they don't pay you. You don't win, exactly. To win, you have to have a better hand than the dealer, and the dealer has to have a decent hand. Hard game. Well, it's fun. And I've had a couple of big wins back when I was spending money on Caribbean Stud Casino Poker. is if you look at your cards one at a time, and like your first two cards are a pair, oh baby, you don't look at the rest of them. Because it doesn't change anything. You can't make a bigger bet. You make your bet is only you're getting all this, double your ante, I believe. Yeah. So you're in. If you see your first two cards, I remember playing one time in at Turning Stone, and my first two cards were jacks. Why do I still remember this? I'm going to tell you. Yeah. First two cards were jacks. Put it down, place the bet, and the dealer had a pair. I'm like, you know, I think it was lower than jacks, so I knew I had won, and I had four jacks. So you win a lot when that happens.
Wow, good for you.
You're not looking at me like you're about to go do this. You're not giving me that face, that vibe.
No, I mean, I'm contemplating what like how harsh I don't. It's possible I've never been sitting alone in a room with one other person and been less interested in what they were saying. It's possible that's the threshold that we just crossed.
And I mean, there have been lots of these times before. And this is the new number one.
This is a hell of an achievement we've reached here.
This is the new number one. You would rather have heard the story about me assembling a lawnmower this morning?
That is a story.
That'll be tomorrow.
I can get with. Okay. You gotta finish it. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'll get you that one. I'll give you the update tomorrow.
All right.
It's a days-long operation when it's me.
Yeah.
Days.
Well, it's a riding mower. This is not. You know, I bought a lawnmower last year. It was like the most utilitarian gas-powered machine you could possibly buy. The wheels don't adjust. There's a handle, the pull cord. It came in a box. I had to put the handle on. That was assembling the lawnmower. I'm guessing this rider is a little more complex.
Lots to do. Yeah, lots of steps.
Yeah,
lots of steps. And for me, I'm very slow and not so inclined at this kind of thing. So I have to reread over and over the instructions.
Oh, well, that's your first mistake. Don't ever read the instructions. Just put it together like you think it should look.
Yeah, that would have been good.
That should work great with
that thing. I might have done that.
Sharp blades.
I did try to go by the instructions.
Fast enough to cut grass.
Maybe I did it wrong. We will find out in time. Sal was with us earlier talking what? We talked about Gabe Davis, George Pickens, and rookie minicamp. We'll have that conversation for you next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.